The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, after 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. The preparation for and the celebration of Christmas, we ponder repeatedly the words of Isaiah quoted by St. Matthew, that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We meditate on the words of the angel of the Lord to Mary in Nazareth. Behold, you will conceive and bear a son and you shall name him Jesus. And to Joseph in a dream, Mary will bear a son and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We ponder two essential realities, that by the incarnation and birth of the eternal Son of the Father, God is with us to stay, and with us with a purpose, to save us from our sins and what our sins inexorably lead to, death. Is with us as our Savior, as our Rescuer, as the one who enfleshes the Father's incredible love and action that we might not perish but have eternal life. Therefore, it's fitting for us within the Christmas season to celebrate Mary's and Joseph's fulfillment of the commandment of God through his luminous emissary. As we heard in today's short gospel, when 8 days were completed for a circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We're doing far more than celebrating an historical event that happened on the 8th day after Jesus was born. We're celebrating the reality that the God-man has given us a name by which he wishes to enter into a dialogue with us, a dialogue of thought, a dialogue of words, and a dialogue of life. For most of us in the West, whose first language is English, our names have been reduced simply to monikers, ways by which people are able to distinguish us from our brothers and sisters and most others. When chosen well by our parents, they connect us to one or more saints whom we can invoke as patrons, or perhaps to beloved family members. Just as often, however, today, they're chosen by parents to connect their kids to movie stars or singers or washed-up athletes. Or the names are simply neologisms invented by parents because they like the sound or want to signify that their child is unique. At the name of Jesus, however, and in various cultures and languages still, the names are meant to signify a reality, or at least a prayed-for reality, something that's often lost in translation. Abraham, for example, means father of many nations. Moses means he was taken from the water. John means God does grace. Michael means he who is like God. Mary means beloved. Peter means rock. For a Hebrew speaker to use any of these names, it would be like saying, "How are you doing today, father of many nations? What's up, you who were rescued from the waters?" Using such a name reinforces the reality in both the one who bears the name as well as the one who invokes it. Something like this still happens, I think, with some names today in some languages. For example, when Italians name their daughter Bella, every single time anyone speaks to her, everyone is reminded of the reality that she is simply beautiful. Same type of thing can happen with the name Faith or the name Joy. For most of us, the closest thing we'll experience to this is being called Dad, or Mom, or Father. Evocative that reinforces reality in both the one calling and the one called. This is what's supposed to happen when we call upon the Son of God and the Son of Mary. To say Jesus is to say God saves. When we say, help me, Jesus, we should be thinking, help me, God who saves. Our interaction with the Lord Jesus should be marked by relating to him as our Savior, God with us, to save us, not just once in the past on Calvary, but at every instant, to help us live in accordance with the reality of being saved in each moment. We should have a holy awe to use it, remembering that in Old Testament times, it was only the high priest once a year in the Holy of Holies who would even mention God's name. We should never, therefore, treat the name of Jesus like just another name, or use it in vain, or in anger, or as a curse word. At the same time, however, God gave us his name because he wanted us to enter into a cherished bond with him. In fact, he gave us his name because he wanted the deepest friendship of all possible. He doesn't want us coming into his presence, saluting him and saying, Your Divine Majesty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't want us to call him rabbi or teacher, which implies a certain distance. He doesn't want us to use the French vous, or the Spanish usted, or the Italian lei, or the Portuguese voce. He gives us his name because with reverence, he wants us to use the two in warm familiarity. In some sense, the way Mary, with maternal tenderness, would have used it as Jesus was growing up in their home in Nazareth. The way Joseph, with fatherly affection, would have used it when he trained him in the art of carpentry. The way his friends, growing up, would have used it, playing with him in the village. The Holy Jesus, the holy name of Jesus is given to us not fundamentally to make us intimidated, but to make us intimate. God wants us to use his name. The saints throughout the centuries have urged us to use it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said, the name of Jesus is light, food, and medicine. It's light when it's preached to us. It's food when we think about it. It's the medicine that soothes our pains when we invoke it. St. Anthony of Padua compared the use of Jesus' name to oil. Just as oil has five properties. It floats on the surface of any liquid. It softens hard things. It sweetens bitter things. It's a source of light and provides nourishment for the body. So the name of Jesus has similar properties. It excels every other name. It softens the hardest of hearts. It sweetens the most bitter of experiences. It enlightens our hearts and nourishes our souls. St. Bernardine of Siena in the early 1400s, perhaps the greatest preacher in history of the holy name of Jesus, whose work led to the establishment of today's feast, who helped compose the litany of the holy name, and whose efforts led the church to add Jesus to the end of the Hail Mary, after those biblical words, blessed is the fruit of your womb. St. Bernardine said in prayer, O glorious name, gracious name, name of love and power, through you sins are forgiven, through you enemies are vanquished, through you the sick are freed from their illness, through you those suffering and trials are made strong and cheerful. You bring honor to those who believe. You teach those who preach. You give strength to the toiler. You sustain the weary. Whenever St. Bernardine used to preach, he would end his sermons holding up a monogram he had made with the first three letters in Greek of the name Jesus, IHS. It's what we see. And he would, with power, show it to everybody who was in attendance on this tablet and invite all those there to venerate and invoke it. He would thereby lead tens of thousands to conversion, helping them to recognize that Jesus is indeed with them, saving them, sanctifying them, succoring them at every moment. This tablet can still be seen in Rome at the Church of Santa Maria in Araceli, right next to City Hall in Rome. How should we relate with intimate familiarity and holy awe to the Lord Jesus by means of his holy name? That's ultimately what we're called to learn when we celebrate this feast. There are many ways we're called to do so. First, we're called to believe in the name of Jesus. St. John tells us, his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus is expressed in our faith in what his name means and the salvation he brings. If we have true faith in Jesus, we will have faith when we invoke him by his name. Second, we should treat his name with reverence. St. Paul writes that because of Jesus' humble obedience, even to death on the cross — this was our entrance antiphon today, our introit — God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One great pious tradition taught to me by my parents when I was a baby is that whenever Jesus' name is said, we make a bow of the head, even if we're doing it 50 or 60 or 100 times an hour. His name is that holy. We shouldn't just enunciate it as if it's just any other set of syllables. Third, we should invoke Jesus' name in our prayer. The Catechism tells us the name of Jesus is the heart of Christian prayer. That's why all liturgical prayer concludes with the words, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus told us in the Gospel, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." He told us repeatedly during the Last Supper, "If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." But also said, "Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive." What does to pray in the name of Jesus mean? It doesn't mean praying for worldly things and concluding by saying, "In Jesus' name we pray, amen." To pray in the name of Jesus means to pray in the person of Jesus. Similar to the way a priest acts in the person of Christ in the sacraments, so when we pray, we should be praying in the person of Jesus, asking for what Jesus himself would ask. Jesus, we know, wouldn't be asking for fame or riches or earthly power or vain things. He would be asking for us to become holy. He would be asking for the good of our loved ones and even our enemies. He would be asking for a peaceful solution to the growing conflict between the United States and Iran, and that the world be delivered from evil. He would be praying for an end of violence and hatred against his fellow Jews, like that hatred we've just seen this past week in Monse. He would be asking for an end to the fires destroying large swaths of Australia. He would certainly be asking for an end to attacks on life, the family, human identity, and authentic human love. The Catechism describes the invocation of the holy name of Jesus is the simplest way of praying always. When the holy name is repeated by a humbly attentive heart, the prayer is not a heaping up of empty phrases, but something that holds forth to God and brings forth fruit with patience. This prayer is possible at all times because it's not one occupation among others, but the only occupation, that of loving God, which animates and transfigures every action in Christ Jesus. To keep the name of Jesus on our lips is to make it possible for us to pray always. Jesus, help me in my work. Jesus, help me as I go to bed. Jesus, help me to get out of bed. Jesus, help me as I cleanse myself so that you might cleanse my soul. Jesus, help me with that person who drives me nuts. Jesus, help me deal with this pain. The Catechism describes five forms of prayer: praise, thanksgiving, contrition, intercession when we pray for others, petition when we pray for ourselves. And we can and should invoke the name of Jesus in all five, praising Him like the Psalms do. How awesome is your name in all the earth. Thanking Him, as St. Paul says, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. Asking for forgiveness. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, like that publican in the temple parable. And asking for the multitude of what others we might need, and doing so with confidence. We remember from the Gospels, from the Acts of the Apostles, and from church history, how many miracles have been worked in the name of Jesus by Peter, which was the beginning of today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles in the Epistle, who said to a paralyzed man, "Gold and silver I don't have, but what I have I give. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." That man rose and walked. Miracles were worked by people in the gospel who were invoking Jesus' name even without Jesus' permission. And the disciples went to Jesus saying, "Shouldn't we stop them?" Jesus said, "No, because anybody who invokes my name for a miracle won't then be cursing it." Similarly, in the Acts of the Apostles, there were those in Ephesus who were adjuring demons by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Do we believe in the power of Jesus' name still to work miracles? And do we pray with that confidence? Fourth, we should live in communion with the holy name of Jesus. St. Paul tells us, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. People should be able to recognize us as acting in the name of the Lord. I represent the Holy See and Pope Francis of the United Nations. When I act, I represent. Take that seriously. As a priest, I represent Jesus. Each of us is Christians. Are supposed to be glorifying God's name by who we are and how we behave. St. Paul described the church as all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and said for that reason, in Jesus' name, that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and same purpose. Jesus prayed to the Father for unity among his disciples. We need to beg for it in Jesus' name. Because disunity, especially in things that matter, is tantamount to a blasphemy. If two Christians get together to fight or argue or criticize or rip each other apart, don't tell me Jesus is present in their midst. The name of the Lord, which is supposed to be glorified in us, will be glorified when we and others seek to do everything in word and deed in his name, including make actual his prayer during the Last Supper. Fifth, we should proclaim Jesus' name. We should teach others how to invoke it and enter into friendship with him. We see that after the ascension, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were constantly proclaiming the name of Jesus. St. Philip preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Jesus selected Saul of Tarsus as his chosen instrument, St. Luke tells us, to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings and Israelites. And immediately after his conversion, he began in Damascus to speak out boldly in the name of Jesus. So vigorous were the apostles in proclaiming Jesus' name, that the same Sanhedrin that crucified Jesus ordered them on multiple occasions not to speak again or teach in the name of Jesus. Do we have the boldness to speak about Jesus before others, to give witness to him? Is Jesus the word that remains unsaid? whereas the whole culture is F-bombing like crazy and using all types of other vulgarity, can we J-bomb and bring the sanctity into our conversations? Do we have the guts? Sixth, we should receive others in the name of Jesus. Jesus tells us, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. We should receive everyone in Jesus' name. Not to receive, to harden our heart to somebody who needs us, is not to be acting in Jesus' name. That should very much influence the way we approach, for example, the subject of abortion and the subject of migration. Jesus identified with both. Should influence how we approach the whole subject of medicine and those who are imprisoned, because Jesus mentioned both. He wants us in his name to receive them, as if he were receiving them or as if we were receiving him. We shouldn't try to water that down. Lastly, we should be prepared to suffer for the name of Jesus. Jesus, without mincing words, told us, you will be hated by all because of my name. He says, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and the prisons. They will lead you before governors and kings because of my name. He says, even some will kill us because they don't know the one who sent him. About St. Paul, he said that he would have to suffer much on account of Jesus' name. And when Paul was arrested, he said, I'm prepared not only to be bound, but even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. So likewise, to invoke the name of Jesus and its power to save and its power to raise from the dead should give us courage that even when people are threatening us, we go on boldly proclaiming those holy letters. Many of us do already suffer derision from those who think they know better than God. Many of our brothers and sisters are suffering persecution and death because of the name of Jesus. But the Lord Jesus reminds us, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. It's in those very moments that our invocation of Jesus matter most. In the early church and throughout the centuries, how many have been converted by seeing the way people suffer all types of indignities because of the dignity of their relationship with Jesus. And whereas words would never convert them, that type of faithful, persevering courage does. Some of the greatest pulpits we'll ever have will be suffering in order to proclaim the difference Jesus makes, even and especially in the humanly worst occasions. The Catechism summarizes. The name Jesus contains everything, God and man, and the whole economy of creation and salvation. To pray Jesus is to invoke him and call him within us. His name is the only one that contains the presence it signifies. Jesus is the risen one, and whoever invokes the name of Jesus is welcoming the Son of God who loved him and gave himself up for him. To say the name of Jesus is to welcome Jesus. At the end of his sermons, as I mentioned, St. Bernardine used to hold up the monogram with the holy name of Jesus in Greek. Today we have something way greater. Jesus comes in the Holy Eucharist. So we prepare to call upon him by name, to receive him within, with the very name it signifies, that God is with us and that God saves us. We ask him to give us a great love for his holy name. Today the ordinary form celebrates the Epiphany. Tomorrow the extraordinary form will, but many of us won't be able to go to Mass. Think about what it would have been like after that journey of at least 18 months following a star for those men to get to Bethlehem and there see Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then to ask Mary and Joseph, what is his name? And to hear them say, Jesus, God save. It's that same saving God who is so happy we're here today as he preaches to us and prepares to feed us. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus, now and forever.